And this morning, as we said already, it's good to renew fellowship with you here. I'm sure you won't have too much trouble with the accent because you've got Gordon and Murdo who speak a bit stronger than I do. But hopefully you'll be able to understand what we're trying to say this morning as we share something from God's Word together. Now at this time of year, we're often thinking about new things, aren't we? We're in a new year, and obviously this morning we're thinking of a new baby. Our friends here are thinking of a new beginning across the sea. And there's lots of new things, isn't there, at this time of year? And we tend to make New Year's resolutions, don't we? And we, you know, I look at myself and perhaps look in the mirror and say I need to lose some weight, but then the attraction of the fish and chip shop comes in the way, and that lasts for perhaps a couple of days until you try to keep up and running, playing with the grandchildren, and you decide maybe to pick up on it again. But there's lots of things, and we make decisions. It's a time of reflection. We look back on the year that's gone, and we look forward into the year that's dawning upon us. Now this morning, very simply, I would like to look at three new things that the Scripture brings before us that I hope would be relevant and would be a challenge to us as we move into 2015. The Scotch preachers, they always love their little alliteration. So this morning we're going to have a look at a new covenant. We're going to have a look at a new creation. And then, time permitting, we're going to have a look at all things new. So three very simple things this morning that we trust will challenge us, encourage us on our Christian pathway. And if there's any here this morning who as yet have not started on their walk with the Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit might challenge you to look at yourself at this time of reflection and to see where you stand in your walk with the Lord Jesus. Perhaps you've not started in any way of a close walk with him, but even being here this morning, you're not here this morning by chance, because as Christians this morning, we don't believe in chance. We believe that the Holy Spirit himself has directed your footsteps to be here in this service this morning, because God himself wants to speak to you through the Scripture to challenge you as to where you are with your relationship to him. Because in life, that's all that really matters. There's important things that we make and important decisions that we might make at this time of year or other times of the year. We make important decisions, but the most important decision that you will ever make is what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. You might say, well, that's a bit irrelevant in 21st century Britain and into 2015 with all the positives that are going on. But let me tell you, one day you will have to stand before a righteous and a holy God, either as one who has been saved and brought into his family, or as one in a day future. The words of the Lord Jesus will come to you and say, depart from me, I know you not. And the Bible tells us that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So while we are in this day of grace that God has given us, this time span that he's given us before he comes again, I would urge you to take heed to Scripture, to look at where you are in relation to God this morning, and if it's not yet, to put your faith and trust in him as your own and personal Saviour for time and for eternity. So firstly this morning, we're going to take a look back in our little reflection this morning. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Not going into any deep theology or discussions this morning, but just to take the Scripture or part of it and to apply it to our hearts and lives this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth about the institution of the Lord's Supper. And he said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come.'" So this morning we want to think about this new covenant that has been made by God through the Lord Jesus that affects you and me. Because this morning, if we were to go back into the Old Testament and to look at the old economy there, we see that God's chosen people, that every year that the high priest had to go in, and he had to go into the holiest of holiest, he was to be dressed correctly, and he had to go in there with a burnt offering to atone for the sins of the people. But you see, as we go back through time and through history, this was done yearly. This ritual went on. The sacrifice was given for the sins of the people. But because sin had entered into the world, the children of Israel were never going to be able to attain to the complete letter of the law that was given in the covenant that was made with Israel at this time. And the Bible tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And we've been thinking, haven't we, of Christmas recently, and as we think of that babe that was born at Bethlehem, that Mary, that she conceived of the Holy Spirit, this holy thing that was within her, was one day going to atone for the sins of the world. And you see, the Bible tells us that we've all sinned, and that's why the high priest used to go in year after year into the holiest of holiness, holiest of holies, to bring an offering to the Lord for the sins of his people. But the Bible tells us these words that were written here very clearly, that the Bible tells us there was a new covenant that was made at Calvary's cross. And you might say, well, what relevance does that have to me today here in 21st century Britain and Britain? But the Bible tells us Paul was writing here to the church at Corinth, and he said, this blood that was shed, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed, was a new covenant that was made for the forgiveness of sins. And you see, this morning what we're trying to say is this, that this new covenant that was made by the death of the Lord Jesus has a relevance to you and I here in Britain today. Today, normally, when we think about blood being shed, it's really horrible, isn't it? And we look at the various trouble spots in the world and we see it's usually something that's done and it's got no relevance, but really just hatred and shame and horror behind it. But you see, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, this new covenant that was made at Calvary, was something different, and it's relevant to you and I in the life that we are living today. Because the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And also the Bible tells us that all our righteousnesses before the sight of a holy God are as filthy rags in his presence. So this new covenant that the Lord Jesus entered into at Calvary was for you and for me. And today, could I ask you and challenge you, what do you think about the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross at Calvary? That's something to ponder about and think about this morning. To think that there was someone who was willing, the Bible tells us, that while we were still in our sins, while we were still a great way off, that the Lord Jesus died for you and for me. And isn't that this morning something that's amazing? You see, there's nothing that we can do of ourselves, because the Bible tells us that we're at a distance from a righteous and a holy God because of sin within our life. But the situation wasn't hopeless, because the Bible tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, that you and I might have the opportunity of putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. So as we think of the new covenant this morning, as we think of Calvary's cross, have we been to the cross at Calvary by faith this morning? As I look round, I don't know many of the people who are here in the church this morning, but could I ask you, has there been a time in your life's experience when you've looked at that cross and looked at that Lord Jesus, at the baby who was born in Bethlehem 33 years later, hanging there, dying on that cross to atone for your sins and for mine? Because as we think of the future, as we're going to do later on this morning, the Bible tells us that nothing that defiles will ever enter into heaven unless you have experienced the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Then the Bible tells us that all we have is a fearful looking forward to of judgment. And these things this morning are real. I don't mean to be somber or to be depressive this morning as we are speaking, but we're seeking to be faithful to the Word of God this morning, because so often we come together, don't we, for a church service, and we spend a happy hour together, and do we really feel the weight of the Scriptures bearing it upon our hearts and upon our lives, and to look at ourselves and we see where we stand in relationship to a righteous and a holy God this morning? So as we think of this new covenant, of the Lord Jesus' blood that was shed, because that was the only thing that could ever atone for your sins and for mine, was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus being shed on that cross at Calvary. So we have this morning a new covenant. But the second thing we want to think of this morning and to focus on is a new creation in 2 Corinthians. I love the writings of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He writes these words. In verse 17 of chapter 5 he says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And isn't this the experience when we experience the new birth, when we accept that the new covenant that the Lord Jesus put in place on Calvary's cross is for us? Does this describe us this morning? And I wonder, it's really quite serious, because the Apostle Paul here, he was addressing the church at Corinth as he penned those words. And you see, I wonder, does this really mark our Christianity this morning? If any man or any woman, any person, as the New Translation says, is in Christ, they are a new creation. That's quite amazing, that, isn't it? A new creation in Christ Jesus. And could I challenge each one of us this morning? Those of us who have confessed the Lord Jesus as Saviour, does this really describe you and I? Does it describe us for an hour on a Sunday morning and perhaps an hour on a Sunday evening? But does it describe us Monday to Saturday as well? Is there something different about us? I don't mean to say that we should be oddities in the world. I don't mean that at all. But are we really a new creation this morning in Christ Jesus? Does our lives reflect what we say? And that comes as a challenge to me more and more as we move around the country and even locally in Littleport. And does it really reflect us as God's people this morning? Are we a new creation in Christ Jesus? By our language, by the company we keep, by what we do, by what we think even, by what we say, does it reflect us? Are we new creations in Christ Jesus this morning? Because remember that Paul is speaking here as he's writing to the church that was at Corinth. So as we think this morning of the church here in Bury St. Edmunds or the church that I come from in Littleport, does that reflect us as individuals within those fellowships? Are we really a new creation in Christ Jesus? I appreciate that we still have the old man within us, that Satan will be wrestling with us, because the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and the power of Satan trying to distract us from following the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And as I read my New Testament and go through it, everybody that met the Lord Jesus, there was an immediate transformation, wasn't there, within their lives. It wasn't just a little bit at a time. There was an immediate transformation took place within their lives. Remember the blind man that the Lord Jesus met? We don't read that he went to the optician to get tested for glasses, do we? The Bible tells us that he came again seeing. You know, the man that was cured of his leprosy, the Bible tells us that his flesh came again as a little child. So there's an immediate and apparent transformation within the lives of those people. Remember the woman of Samaria that the Lord Jesus met? The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus said to her, "Go and sin no more." And she went on her way and told those in the city of the great things that had happened to him. Remember the man that lay by the pool those 38 years, waiting on the moving of the waters. And the Bible tells us of him that he was healed. And so we could go on through the New Testament, and we see the transformation that takes place within the hearts and within the lives of people who met the Lord Jesus. And the message that I'm trying to get across this morning, and I speak to my own heart as well, does this really reflect us? Have we become a new creation in Christ Jesus? It's so easy, isn't it, to compartmentalize our lives. We're happy to give so much to the Lord Jesus. It's good, isn't it? We plan our times, and at work we love using spreadsheets, and we can put down little bits of things that we're going to do and all that. But I wonder, how much time do we devote to the Lord Jesus? When we see what the Lord Jesus did for us by going to that cross at Calvary and creating that new covenant relationship that you and I could enjoy, are we this morning new creations in Christ Jesus? And it's never too late to start, is it? My wife keeps telling me that, you know, to lose weight. She said, it's never too late to start. There's nobody a lost cause this morning. And it's the same in the Christian life. If you've been on the road for maybe a few years or 40, 50 years on the road as a Christian, let us examine ourselves this morning and see where we really are in those words that Paul is saying here. If any person be in Christ, they're a new creation. And just last week I was in France, till yesterday, and last Sunday I was preaching at a church in France, and we were talking about the people that were on the road to Emmaus, and people saw them, and when people looked at the disciples, they perceived or they saw that they had been with Jesus. And I wonder, when people in the world look at us, can they see that we have been with Jesus? And that comes as a challenge to us, doesn't it, as we enter this new year, if people were to look at me as I'm at work, as I'm at play or whatever we're doing, can people look at us and see, perceive, see something different in us to know that we have been with Jesus? And these are searching things this morning, because the Bible tells us, doesn't it, that the Lord knows our innermost secrets, our innermost thoughts. The Lord Jesus can see us. He's omnipresent, and he can see exactly what we're doing and what we're thinking this morning. And that's solemn, isn't it, as we enter this new year. Can we look at ourselves and examine our hearts and our lives and see whether we are really a new creation in Christ Jesus? And this morning, what a way it would be to start the year if there's not been a time in your life's experience. The Bible tells us that behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is God's day of salvation. So what a way to start the new year, wouldn't it be, for you to start on your walk with the Lord Jesus, knowing him as your own and personal Saviour, and putting your hand in his and going forward into the future with him. So we have a new covenant this morning, don't we? We've got this new creation that we can challenge our hearts and our lives with this morning. And for our last little reflection this morning, I'd like to look forward into Revelation chapter 21, the last book of the Bible. Second last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. And John, you know, this vision that John had as he was on the Isle of Patmos, as he looked and all those things that he saw. And he says here, John chapter 21 and verse 1, he says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts.'" Wow, what a vision is that of the future. A new heaven and a new earth. And you might say, well, these are all sort of airy-fairy things, are they? What substance have we got here? But can I tell you, as we look back through the Bible, and every promise that God has made has come to pass. God promised that he would judge the world with a flood, and that came to pass. He promised that Sodom and Gomorrah would be destroyed. That was destroyed. He promised that the Lord Jesus would come. We can go back through the Old Testament, and we see those well-known chapters, don't we, in Isaiah and other places in the Old Testament where the Lord Jesus is coming was promised. That took place. The death of the Lord Jesus, as we've been thinking about the crucifixion, that took place. The ascension of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that took place. There's the empty tomb there out in the city of Jerusalem there where the Lord Jesus was in the new tomb. There's the empty tomb there. The Lord Jesus ascended up into heaven. And in the calendar of God, the next thing, as far as my understanding of prophecy, would be that the Lord Jesus is going to come again to receive us from the world to be with him throughout eternity. And then as we go on, prophecy is interesting, isn't it? We can look at it and try to interpret it. But this is the very end of time, after the millennium period, after the great tribulation, after the devil and his angels have been cast into the lake of fire. We have this new heaven and this new earth that's going to be created. And as we look around today and we see so much to sadden us, if it saddens us, how much more must it grieve the heart of a holy and a righteous God? And I'm sure that the day of the coming again of the Lord Jesus is drawing near. And those of us who are Christians this morning, we can look forward with blessed anticipation, can't we, to that day when the Lord Jesus is going to come back to the air to receive us from this world. And the Bible tells us that so shall we ever be with the Lord. And as we go on through Revelation, we are then going to be part of this new heaven and this new earth that the Lord Jesus is going to create. And we are going to be part of this state throughout eternity. What a prospect there is, isn't there, for us as Christians to look forward to this morning. And could I challenge any as yet who might think that those things are fantasy, but we look around at the world today and all the signs are pointing that the day of the coming again of the Lord Jesus is drawing nearer. We see the focus of the world, don't we? Focused on Israel. We see that everybody's eyes are focused on what's happening there. We see all those different pointers in the world that are pointing towards the Lord Jesus coming again. And the Bible says the important thing for us is that we are ready. That we've accepted the new covenant that the Lord Jesus has made for us at Calvary. That we've become a new creation in Christ Jesus. That we're walking with him and that we're waiting for that trumpet sounding and that call to take us from this world to be forever with himself. And look what we have of looking forward to. I love reading those latter chapters of the book of Revelation and see the wonders that God is going to create in the new heavens and the new earth. And this morning, wouldn't it be wonderful? It's great as Christians to look forward to that. And what if not? The Bible tells us that the devil and his angels were cast into the lake of fire that burneth forever and forever. These things this morning are a reality. These are real things. They're written, they're penned by holy men of God who were inspired by God himself to write the canon of scripture that we have before us. And who are we as mean mortals to challenge what God has written and what God has said? So this morning, at the start of this new year, I'd like each one of us to take stock to see whether we've become part of this new covenant relationship that the Lord Jesus has made available for us. Are we a new creation in Christ Jesus? Are we walking with God as is proper and correct as Christians this morning? And are we above all looking forward to that prospect of being part of a new heaven and a new earth with the Lord Jesus in eternity? So as we go forward into the new year, let us think on those things. Let us think of all the positives, of those new things that we can have if we are willing to put our faith and trust and to walk with him in a way that is becoming to the people of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning that those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. And we'd ask of you this morning that the gracious Holy Spirit might indeed move in our midst, that each one of us might be challenged to look at where we are in our walk with you. And Father, we would ask of you that it might be a walk that is good, a walk that is proper, that we might be in constant communication with you as our Father, and be able to put our hand in hand with you and have confidence as we step forward into this new year. So, Father, help us this morning as we go our separate ways. Challenge each one in your presence this morning. And, Father, above all, we'd ask of you that what has been said this morning might have been for the glory of God and for the upbuilding of your people. So we ask this as we give thanks again for the Lord Jesus. In his name, amen. Now, this evening we're going to have a look at what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. We've just finished a series at Littleport for 10 weeks on discipleship, and this evening I thought it would be useful to be a challenge to our hearts. I'm not going to do a 10-hour sermon this evening. Don't worry, don't let me put you off, but just to give a concise look and a challenge what it is to go forward, basically from Ezra and chapter 3 of Ezra's prophecy, to look there and see how God moves forward with people in a broken society. So could we have a closing hymn together?